SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour two on this Tuesday. Andy Serling joins us from the New York Racing Association. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. What's going on?
Just talked to Steve Asmussen, which is always challenging because there was Sunland and Oaklawn and Fairgrounds and it. I never even got to Team Toby Sheets at some of the New York courses.
We could have Toby on.
I should have Toby on. I haven't had Toby in ages on. I absolutely should.
He probably every morning gets up and says to himself, maybe today.
Bick hasn't called me.
Steve Bick, you know? I think a lot of people begin their day that way. With so much hope and so much promise. And then noon rolls around. The call never came. And it's just a black and white world again.
Tina said to me that she hasn't heard from me in ages.
Tina, your wife?
Yes.
She's probably flourishing.
Exactly. You know, and speaking of flourishing, I mean, you know, Toby, I'm trying to think of when I brought, maybe last fall, I brought up a horse or two from New York with Steve, and he started to laugh because, you know, Toby Sheets has partnered up with a lot of the clients, and they're breeding, you know, some New York breds, and really
appears occasionally, yeah, breeder and owner,
yeah, it's very cool.
He's been running that operation in New York for a long time,
With Haynesfield. Haynesfield was his crowning achievement. I mean, that was really his horse.
It's a big job, and he does a great job. You could go down the hierarchy chart, and it's the people in the stable that make the stable work. You know, whether it's the assistant trainers or anybody, grooms, pot walkers, exercise riders. Exercise riders are probably sort of the unsung heroes, I think, of a lot of stables.
True.
You know,
it's true.
These are the people who are getting them ready in the morning on the racetrack. I would have to think they would make a difference. Maybe not. I would think they do.
No, there's no doubt. And you know, while we, I suppose, defer very often to the jocks and you know, when the jocks come into play and you know, the final preparations sometimes, but there's countless, you know, they think about Baffert's operation and Dana Barnes and all the, you know, how closely associated Dana has been with so many. You know, she's a morning rider, but
I know Chad Brown speaks very highly of his exercise riders.
Sure. When you mean when allowed to thank them in settings?
Well, he apparently wasn't the only one that was cut off.
We're talking about Thursday, and Chad was going through and he wanted to make sure that everybody was acknowledged, and he finally got around to, you know, the family side of things, and that's when they said, oh, here's the music, but he got everybody thanked.
They caught a Peter Brand, I heard. Fortunately, I didn't watch.
I missed that. I missed the Brandt presentation, actually.
How long has he had horses?
35 years. Although he did have a break. He was away for a little
break. Also, a huge player in the game for a long period of time back in the 70s and the 80s.
Sure.
The 90s, and now he's another big player in the game. I mean, I don't particularly know Peter very well, but he's always seems like an extremely nice guy and sort of thoughtful. There was an interview with him in the Thoroughbred Daily News, I want to say, sometime this fall, late fall. It was really interesting, I thought. Really, really interesting. Worth looking up.
I'll pull that up. I'll find it.
I'll send
the link out.
Yeah. It's a very thoughtful interview about a lot of things, racing, art, different things. Obviously, he's much bigger in the art world than he is in racing.
I saw where I'm trying to think of who was one of my friends on social media. They were a little disappointed that Gulch didn't get, as they were talking about as they were listing some of Peter's accomplishments.
How would you not have him as one of his best horses? I mean,
that's
not only
what
did he own him, he bred him, right? He raced the dam. So
yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. Who else would you mention if not Gulch?
I know. It's kind of, it's a fair point.
I mean, he had a lot of good horses. I'm not saying he didn't, but who better than Gulch? I mean, he had Weya, but he bought Weya, midway through, later in her career. I mean, her early successes in this country were all for Daniel Wildenstein and Angel Penna.
I think we lost Gulch during 2018.
Sounds
as it
possible.
Happens. Yeah, it would have been late in 17.
Gulch was an amazing horse.
You know who his groom was?
Gulch?
Yeah.
I do not.
Paul Barone, Gary's longtime assistant.
Oh, that's cool.
And he loved him. He was tough. He's a tough horse, boy.
What did he dance all the dances? Jeez. Wow. Amazing.
Yep.
Well, you think what he did in the Triple Crown Series, right? Running in all three races. I want to say he was in the top four in all three races. And between the Preakness and Belmont, winning the Met over Broadbrush. Good horse in that race. Love that Mac, I think, was in there. Yeah, he was quite a horse.
Big time.
Yeah.
I got to see him at Old Friends too before.
Really? Oh, cool.
And he was 30. He must have been 30 by then.
Well, let's see. I mean, it was that was 87, right? He Breeders' Cup. He was 4. So he was born in 84. Jesus.
Yeah. Yep.
So if he died last year, he'd been 34. Jesus.
Yeah. I think he was 32 when I saw him.
Well, he was a tough horse on the racetrack, too. Amazing. Think about the career he had. I mean, it's a grade one winner at 6. I'm trying to think if he won a grade one at 7. Definitely won a mile. I feel like he won a grade one at a mile and 8th. Well, he won the Wynn Memorial. Probably a grade one then, right?
You would think.
He'd gone west. He won the Californian. I don't know if that was a grade one when he won it. Probably not. Second of Ursula Ensign, the Whitney. Yeah, it was some horse. What else is going on, Steve?
Well, I want to ask you, we got a bunch of things, obviously, and do some more racing before we talk about anything off the track. The weekend, I had Kieran yesterday, and we talked about Dawn the Destroyer. This was not just in New York, but Kieran wins down in Florida as well. Yeah, this was a good weekend for. And I just talked to Steve Asmussen and there's a few others. I didn't even get to one of his winners from the weekend, but this was a good weekend for the Philly and Mare Sprint landscape. There were some good efforts. It looks like that division may be okay this year.
Well, it's January. We'll see.
You had a bunch of 90 buyers. I mean, at least
I hope so. I mean, I hope so. I don't know. All these divisions are good. We'll see. I mean, it's hard to, divisions could look bad in January and end up being good. They could look good in January and be bad, but. Yeah, I mean, Dream Pauline, she seems to be coming around. And Dawn Destroyer, I mean, I don't think this was as good as her prior race, even though she won. But she was very much at the track, I thought. Was that Friday? Yeah, Friday the Rail was dead. And but she ran well. I thought the horse that Aaron bought finished third on her way. A better ride could have won that race, actually. certainly was
beaten three lengths.
Well, was not the. I'm not sure why he would dive right onto a dead rail in the stretch. Donna Stroyer. We'll see. You know, see if she can keep it together because she has been good in her two starts. Mr. Buff was good Saturday too.
Mr. Buff was very good. Gets a 101 buyer, and I mentioned as you were coming on too, good weekend for John Kimmel, who, you know, had Mr. Toby's Pacific Gale run second to Dream Pauline.
Right.
So it was a good weekend for John.
Yeah, John's been running well. Yeah, Mr. Buff, I mean, you know, I don't know what the rider was thinking on the big fundamental. I mean, he's a speed horse, and they just made no attempt to be aggressive with it at all. It sort of made the life of Mr. Buff a little bit easier. But still, no, he was very good. I mean, he's a tough horse, and he's allowed to control in the front. You don't really know when the paces get a little bit more contentious. If they do, if he'll be able to be as effective, but he's certainly good when he can control.
He's won four straight now, too.
Mm-hmm. No, he's been terrific. I mean, he was always had some talent, but he really seems to be putting together. He's a speed horse that seems to be flourishing in these longer races, probably because he's able to get away with such, you know, moderate fractions. He turns them sort of into elongated sprints with a big advantage, but still.
Well, this follows up his Alex Robb right before New Year's. A couple of other performances. In fact, let's stay before we talk about Sunday. Let's stick with Saturday for a minute. Built to Suit came back, and that may have been a flare to take notice. That was a terrific effort by the Ridgeline.
Yeah, no, he got a very good trip and ride in the race, but I agree. He was impressive. Boy, that 100 buyer. Where that came from. It's funny, I had heard he was coming back, but not that I was sort of nonplussed. It's not like I was thinking, oh gosh, wait till Bill DeSue gets back. I ran into Whit, Chad's assistant in New York, after the race. I was walking upstairs, and he said, boy, that was incredible. He said, you know, we were just sort of hoping he'd get the board run well. I mean, he hadn't been out. I mean, he and Bricks and Mortar had very similar layoffs, right? He was off about 15 months. And it's like, wow, they were really surprised. I mean, he was very good. So, yeah, I guess, I mean, if it happened to go a race like that, you have to think, we give him a shot at a New York Red Stake. Why not, right?
Oh, absolutely. Of course. I mean, of course, only, that's a luxury you're going to have with
it. Well, the only allowance condition he has is an allowance of two against open, so why not, right? He doesn't really have, you know, much left as far as conditions, but yeah, that was something. It exploded.
A turn as well to Sunday, and nice story that, in fact, I saw where Jessica Martini in TDN, she jumped on the story, and I did look up what Ujjayi means. It's something yogic. It has to do with breathing in yoga. And
my day is complete.
Yeah. but this was a nice story because T.L. Wise, the owner breeder of this Smarty Jones filly, he's got the one mare, Ocean Road, a Warfront mare, and he was delighted with his first stake win. And
she was very game. The rail was very good on Sunday, and I think that helped her a lot in there, to be fair. But no, I like when shippers come in and do well. You know, people take a chance. She'd run well in her other races. That horse that was beating her, was it Please Respect
Me? Please Flatter Me. Please Flatter Me. Yeah.
You know, but no, I thought she was okay in there. I thought the favorite had to win that race, to be honest with you. She was hurt probably by being a little bit off the rail, but she also didn't feel like she finished. She may really not want to go beyond six and a half. So, you know, I thought that she sort of did not finish out because it looked like she was home. And I think Manny thought she was for sure. And the other filly just dug in. The racetrack helped her a little bit, but still, that was a nice performance by those two horses.
Well, and you mentioned the, also, the Pennsylvania bred, Please Flatter Me, we've talked to and talked about quite a bit with Mark Reed. the undefeated.
She's
please flatter me. Yes.
Right. I'd look her record up. I haven't noticed who trained her.
No. She's, yeah. Well, Mark, Mark's, I go back a long way with Mark Reed and back to Mr.
Nickerson. Yeah, we're in kindergarten together, right?
Not exactly, but I've always been a fan. Mr. Nickerson was one of my favorite horses ever.
Oh, he's a terrific trainer. He's been around forever. Feels like he was training when I was a kid.
Not far off.
No, he's been around forever. He's been good horses over the years, absolutely. Yeah.
And
Mr. Nickerson was a good horse.
Well, and of course, brother.
I wonder what some of the other resume of horses he's had. He had a number of good horses over the years. Like a specialty, you go back some years.
Well, and he was gone. I mean, he was basically doing bloodstock work for 10 years. I mean, he had essentially
Maybe more, maybe longer.
Yeah. Could have been. Yeah. Well, Mr.
Speaking of Reeds, I see that what's his name?
Maximus.
The one that Remsen's coming back, and then
Maximus.
What's his name?
Maximus Mischief.
Maximus Mischief. That horse is good. That horse is very good. That Remsen is looking like a good race. You know, the horse of Mark Hennigs that ran fourth in there. Had a nice win at Gulfstream. I feel like somebody else came out of that race and ran very well. Seem right? Tax is running in
the Withers. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know what Chad's doing with Network Effect. I don't know what his plans are with him. I saw some video of him working. But I don't know what he's planning on doing with him. I like Network Effect. And that Mark Valesky horse.
Well, before we talk some the weekend, because I do want to get your take on what we saw in Pegasus. You mentioned the Withers. Now looks like a 7-horse field. We lost Mind Control, who's going to wait for the Gotham. And
I thought the General had an issue. You wrote
yeah, he's got a little suspensory. He's going to take 30 days off.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, feel bad for Michelle Nevin.
A little suspensory doesn't sound good.
No, never. Never.
Like a little pregnant. I hope he's okay.
Agreed. But the field, Lucky Lee, John Service, Moretti for Pletcher, Admire coming up from Florida for Romans. Cassie's got two, Our Brain Trust and Sir Winston. You mentioned Tax for Danny Gargan. And Rudy Rod has got Not That Brady. That's your 7 for the Withers.
Okay.
Andy, the assumption is that weather is going to impact that Thursday card, so the carryovers, those that are looking to attack, probably have to wait for Friday. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, I'm not. You know, obviously it's supposed to be very cold on Thursday. My opinion is the same as everybody else's. Say the same high of 15. Hard to imagine we'll be racing. I don't think I have any insight than anybody else.
Yeah, they're talking winds, though, too. I mean, the cold is...
Based on the weather forecast, there's no chance we'll be racing. What do you want to say?
All right.
I can't confirm things. I can only say the exact thing.
No, I just... I'm just
anybody
getting
else would say, which is it's going to be really cold, and we're probably not going to race.
Yeah, just looking for your read on it. The
I don't have a read. My read is the same as everybody else.
Well, the sequence, the pick six would start with State Bred 40s going 6.
What are we doing, Friday?
On Friday. Then you'd have an open company second level allowance.
Oh, you want me to look at Friday's card? I have it somewhere nearby.
I figure you do.
Okay,
I'm just giving.
Fine. I didn't know we were doing that. It's fine.
Yeah, it's a quick hit. Can't hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The third race. The winner will probably be one of the 3 or 6, probably 6. The Wise Guy horse might be the 7, Deputy Flag. He's probably the 4th race is tough. There's a carryover in the Nyra Betts pick 5, too.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a tough race, the 4th race, because you really trust Hayfield. She's the horse to beat. I mean, Short Case comes back after, the blowing up in the gate in the Innerborough the previous Friday. I mean, what about Estilo Feminino? I mean, what happened to her last time? She's dreadful, but she's not that bad. You have to think she's going to run better, right? You could see Sphere running better. It feels like Friend of Liberty. It's just not any good anymore. But maybe she doesn't like a wet track anymore. But she used to. I don't know. She was terrible last time. Fifth race, I thought that only two horses to go win were Bourbon Bay and Hot Sriracha. I hate Hot Sriracha. It's got to go 9 furlongs, but this is not much of a field. But I prefer Bourbon Bay on the rail. Sixth race, winner will probably be one of O'Shea Can You See, Truly a Moonshot, and Linda's horse. T Loves a Fight, is 5.5. I probably prefer Truly a Moonshot, but one of those three is sort of supposed to win. Seventh race, I mean, Family Biz might just be better than these horses. I got to call Andy about that 90 buyer that he's given Stonebreaker. It's just not a legitimate number. It's just not. I'm sure the race came up very fast, but it's just way too high for those horses. We'll see if that horse can stretch out effectively, though. It's pretty quick early. A clench might run better, but I wonder if a mile is a little far for him. And the last race, I like the 6, 7, and 10. And the 6 Ramblin' Man. Man feels like much the worst to beat up. That's all I got.
No, it's good. I appreciate it. And because there's plenty of people that'll be looking forward to Friday. Let's get some thoughts from you as well on what we saw Saturday in the Pegasus activities. The 6.7 million turf.
Yeah, I'm really not going to get into that. It's a little discouraging that they advertise purses that are sort of not really true. Bricks and Mortar is a horse I'm a fan of, and, you know, obviously I'm friends with the connection, so I was thrilled to see him do well. And it's sort of the horse, you know, you think about him and Annals of Time, right? Two horses that could have both been turf champion last year if they had been sound. The game is full of horses that could have been something if they had been sound. So, but it felt like a sort of odd type of rare poetic justice in racing, right? Where, you know, even if to win a race with some big purse. I mean, it's not a race of any stature. It's a meaningless race, but it had a big purse. But it is a grade one. And we'll see. You know, the way Bricks and Mortar beat that field, boy, you'd have to think if he stays sound, he could really have a big year, because he destroyed those horses. He didn't get a great trip, right? I mean, they sort of sped up in the backstretch, and Irat let him get away from. Just like he just sort of buried them. He kind of won as he pleased. So you have to be optimistic if he stays sound that, you know, any of these races, whether they would cut him back to a mile and he's showing he can go shorter distances, where they cut him back to a mile in the Makers 46, or, you know, they point towards that turf race at Churchill and then the Manhattan, because now he wins in a mile and 3/16. It doesn't feel like a mile and a quarter is a problem. You know, all those races have to be on the table for him. So I think the question is obviously if he can stay sound. I mean, he had a pretty serious injury. Going to be out as long as he was. And even, I remember even when he, you know, they were getting him back to training, even at that point, Chabran said to me that, you know, because every place more has always kind of had a real following, you know, people used to ask about him and I always liked him and say, like, listen, he's coming back, but kind of injury he had, you know, it's 50-50. These horses can make it back even when they get back. Right. And, it's really tremendous that he's come back and done so well. And obviously, I mean, listen, let's be honest. It wasn't a particularly good field. Yoshida didn't show up at all. Channel Maker didn't show up at all. Magic Wand ran okay to be second. But you would think the fields would get tougher as the year goes on, though, based on last year's group of turf horses, maybe not. But he ran very well. He got a big figure now. You know, so I, hopefully he'll stay sound. If he stays sound, he could have a very good year.
Opportunity to maybe go toward Keeneland, the mile, the Makers.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't asked Chad. I'm sure, you know, he's considering any of those big races for him between that and the race on Derby Day. So he'll figure out what's best. I'm sure his goal would be to Manhattan, knowing him. So he'll use one of those races. It's a race before it.
Well, he's a nice addition to that division landscape, that's for sure.
No question. That division could use something. No question. I mean, it was just a terrible year for that division last year.
Peter Miller is going to join me next, and I guess the Stormy Liberal as turf champion. The more I thought about it, I thought, all right, I guess it was such a weird dynamic. I wasn't voting for
he's a very
an enable.
Nice horse. Yeah, finds a little bit. Whatever. I'm not getting into that.
Yeah, really it's the main track, some thoughts about what we saw with the day and the main track was swampy and sealed
won.
And slapped.
He was a very good horse, City of Light. So
yeah,
well, he's a very good horse. He won. It was very impressive. I'm sorry he's retired. I would love to see him this year. I mean, he's probably would have been the best horse in training. I thought he was going to the race. He ran better in winning the Dirt Mile than Accelerate did winning the Classic, with all due respect. He had beaten Accelerate going a mile and an eighth at Oaklawn. His one bad race was at a mile and a quarter. Whether it was the mile and a quarter or not, I'm not knocking Accelerate, but I don't think anybody's surprised that he won the race. City of Light seemed like the horse to be going in, at least to me.
Yeah, and was gonna have a tactical edge too.
They were moving early. Probably they weren't moving, and Pattern was aggressive early. The pace was pretty quick. So yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a lot. I don't have a lot to say about the race. I mean, I think he's a good horse, and he was much better in the field. I mean, listen, it's the Don handicap essentially, and with a sort of phoned up purse. They've done a good job of keeping some horses in training for one more race, and that's added flair. It's like the Don with a kicker. And in today's racing landscape, I mean, listen, you give them credit, because in today's racing landscape, they weren't. It's not like some Dons we've seen in the past, right? You know, you go back 25, 30 years, you think about the one like Silver Char and Puerto Madero and those kind of horses, right? I mean, people don't remember those, right? Cigar winning it 2 years in a row. It's just sort of changed. So something in order to, I mean, it was a race that was headed for losing its grade, right? If they hadn't done something,
yeah,
they did.
Probably.
Yeah. Anyway,
what is your take on away from the two features? What's your take on the big performance from the Mott Judmont Colt, and how it should
Midnight Scroll. What's his name? Not Midnight Scroll. Scroll. What is it? Scroll? No, that Hidden Scroll. Obviously, until you see him on a dry track, you're not sure what to expect. But geez, I mean, I happened to have watched that race. That was a pretty awe-inspiring race. I mean, he was tremendous. I mean, obviously the fractions are inaccurate. It's not possible to go that quick the first quarter at Gulfstream, but it was an outlier race and a very fast race, and he won by, 14 lengths? Who knows? I mean, if he's that good in the dry track, the other horses heading towards the Triple Crown Trail are in trouble. But we'll see. What can you say? That was some performance.
Yeah.
A long way from I would say that in all likelihood, he's an extraordinarily talented horse. Whether or not it means he's a Derby horse, there's two ways to separate. So many people are going to be talking Derby, 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 Derby. My answer would be, I don't know if he's a Derby horse, he's going to win the Derby, but feels like a very good horse.
Yeah.
You just need to see what he does on a dry track, But that was some performance.
Now and Bill Mott himself taking a wait and see. Let's not his MO. He's not.
Yeah, I'm sure Bill would say the exact same basically the similar same thing. Obviously I'm sure they had high hopes for him, and apparently he'd been working well in Saratoga before. He was on the sidelines, but. And his wet track. Nobody's looking at a wet track. Those kind of performances on wet tracks can be deceptive. look at the debut of Elusive Quality, right? It's a very similar one. The wet track at Belmont, right? He got 102 by her at a mile and a 16th, winning off by 100. He also happened to be an extremely good horse. And I think, you know, if you look at the records of horses that have these high buyer debut, you know, impressive wins, the ones that stayed sound, most of them turned out to be very good horses. You know, it's not random. It's not some sort of aberrational thing. This is a good horse. Where he ends up showing where he's a good horse remains to be seen.
Very fair. I mean, that's that, and that's the reasonable approach to take. And I pointed out this morning, Andy, in fact, on that topic, there was a horse that ran in the Sugar Bowl and then again in the Smarty Jones, this Super Steed that had had a you know, as a 2-year-old, the Big Fig at Churchill, an 87 buyer, broke his maiden in allowance. And, you know, there was a lot, there was some buzz and excitement. And now in 4 career starts, the only good performance, you know, the only, you know, major performance was the wet track. And he's been a disappointment subsequently in 2 dry fast track stake efforts. Not even competitive. And it really speaks to this, you know, I don't want to call it a phenomenon, but just this reality that this does happen. And you know, they got to, and that's what Mott said too. He's got to go out and do it, and now let's get him on a fast track.
I mean, it's what it is. I think one of the interesting things about him is since Judd Mott owns him, if he turns out to be a top horse, maybe there won't be such an impetus to send him off to stud. They race Frankel as a 4-year-old, and the top horse, I imagine they would be looking to stand him. I mean, it's a long way from that being the case, but if it is, you know, maybe his horse will stick around for a while. But I think Mott can also look back at Hofburg last year from a racing standpoint and say, look at the promise that he theoretically showed and look at how that kind of blew up on them. It's horse racing. Every trainer's had horses that were exciting beginning of their careers that turned out to be duds, and vice versa. Horses that, you know, you think might be good. Look at a horse like Palace Malice, right? Who Todd always thought was his, you know, said was his best 2-year-old, and he seemed like he, you know, was completely wrong as a 2-year-old. While he was okay, he certainly was nothing exciting, and it took him a while to get it going, but at some point he turned into a very good horse.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good example. It's a very good.
We done?
I think so. Andy, I hope it. Hope we can get through this, and you know, the weather-wise, we just are dealing with it. And
Friday, Saturday, yeah. And Sunday. I don't see any problems with that. It is winter. All right. Well, I don't want to hold up Peter Miller. I'm sure he's waiting by his phone.
Yeah, maybe. We'll look forward to the weekend, and we will talk next week. I appreciate it. Get some withers, right. See how the withers shapes up. Thanks, buddy.
All right.
Andy Serling, everybody. Take a break here. Come back. Peter Miller going to join us, and we'll talk to Peter about dual champions. It was one thing to have dual Breeders' Cup winners, but to have Stormy Liberal storm the gate and win the Turf Championship. And as the point was made, who was it that said, you know, that really the Rockingham and Gary Hartunian, you know, the success, really, they deserve a lot of credit. That's a outstanding. It was Jay Pribman. It was Jay that really drove that point home on Friday, you know, after the ceremony. Peter Miller next, Preston Sims, top of the hour too. We're looking forward to that. He talked about his success in the Pegasus Betting Challenge, close to 400,000. Well done. I had a nice exchange as well I want to mention as we go to the break, speaking on horseplay. Barry Meadow has got a new book coming out in March. Those of you that and everybody respects Barry's take on capping and bankroll management is fabulous. Money secrets at the racetrack. 25 years, probably 30 years, maybe. And as relevant and invaluable as ever. Barry's got a new book. It's called The Skeptical Handicapper. And we're going to get Barry in as part of our game builder conversations. And we'll get, you know, one of the most respected voices as well when it comes to ticket building and bankroll, as Barry's new book gets ready to come out. Take a break here. Peter Miller next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I thought I saw a girl brought to life. She was warm, she came around, and she was dignified. She showed me what it was to cry. Well, you couldn't be that girl I adored. You don't seem to know, seem to care what your heart is for. But I don't know her anymore. There's nothing where she used to lie. The conversation has run dry. That's what's going on. Nothing's fine, I'm torn. I'm all out of faith. This is how I feel. Lie naked on the floor. Illusions never change into something real. Wide awake and I can see the perfect sky in store.
We're back at the races. I gotta let this play a little bit. An unbelievable cover of Torn. This is a 21-year-old kid from the UK I don't know. Maybe this baby, is it our next Adele? Because, of course, we did bring Adele to North America. I will stand by the fact that this show played Adele before anybody had heard her. But this kid's name is James. They call him James T.W. His last name is hyphenated. But James T.W. with the... even though it sounds the same, it's still fresh, version of Torn. Peter Miller standing by. Peter, of course, Peter was probably torn a little bit between Thursday and Saturday. Thursday night, the Eclipse Awards takes home two. We knew that Roy H. was winning. Stormy Liberal creates a new era as a turf sprinter wins Turf Horse of the Year. But then on Saturday, things were a little bit thrown into a cocked hat, as they say. Peter, congratulations, but I'm sorry things went awry for Saturday.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You know, and we'll save that portion. Let's first talk about Thursday night.
Let's go to the good stuff first.
Yes. Yes, and then we'll gloss over Saturday. You know, the Roy H., you knew, everybody at the table knew, and that was fine. But the turf situation was really fascinating. And the public, you got to acknowledge that the horse playing and the fan base out there, there was a groundswell of support for Stormy Liberal.
Absolutely, and without that, you know, the horse players and the, you know, the voters thinking outside the box a little bit, there's no way he wins it. Cause I don't think there's ever been a turf sprinter ever won a Turf Horse of the Year.
I'm not sure that there's been a turf horse winner that's run less than a mile that's been a winner.
Right, exactly. So now it was a great honor, and it was a great night. You know, kudos to the Eclipse Awards and the Stronic Group for really a great night. They shortened up the ceremony by a good hour, maybe more, and it was much better this year than last year.
Well, you know, the question is now, I suppose, can the horses like Stormy Liberal and Roy H. be better yet again going into this year? And Roy H. seems to be, you know, starting off obviously on the right foot. We'll talk about the campaigns in a minute. But I got to acknowledge, I don't know if it got back to you, you know, but Jay Pridman really stressed on Friday after the awards, you know, what a credit needed to be acknowledged, you know, for the team behind the horses. And, you know, with the back-to-back Breeders' Cup wins, you know, that portion you would think would be evident. But I really thought that the point was well made about David Burnson and the Hartoonians and Rockingham, you know, really should be thanked and acknowledged for, you know, what is a unique accomplishment.
100%.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. I agree with you 100%. And I tried to, unfortunately, you know, I think the Stormy Liberal acceptance was somehow cut off for a commercial of probably some fancy new hard-boiled egg cooker or something of that sort on TBG. But, you know, anyhow, that's another story. But, you know, so many people behind it, you know, my help, my team, my blacksmiths, my vets, the owners, the riders. It's just, you know, too many people to name. You know, I'm the one that gets the credit, but they're the ones that do the work.
Well, you now do have a unique scenario bringing Stormy Liberal back and Roy H. already with that just eye-popping effort, public workout last week that anybody that saw the Palos Verdes just had to be stunned. Talk about the year upcoming for the two champs.
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, Roy was looked better than ever. And so we're really excited about going to Dubai. And we had some, you know, some bad luck last year in Dubai. The horse got left at the gate. And He didn't really run his race. I think I didn't have him where he needed to be. But hopefully with that experience under our belt and, Paco Lopez on him, I think you're going to see a different horse this year in Dubai.
Well, of course, mind your biscuits out of the picture. So that, and I don't know what the status is with XY Jet if he's going over or not. But
I don't either. It's the same owner. Rockingham owns the majority of XY Jet, and of course Roy Eight. So it'll be interesting. We could send another horse over there as well. We've got a couple other good sprinters that. We want to make sure there's an honest pace in front of Roy H. And it's exciting. And then Stormy Liberal, we were really looking forward to running against World of Trouble Saturday, but unfortunately it didn't work out.
And was there a discussion? Did you get a chance to talk at all to Billy Badgett about or Tim about? Having those two races taken off?
No, and that's really where my problem lied, is the manner in which it was done. They made the call at 6:37 in the morning, 6-7 hours in front of the races, and there was no rain. The rain didn't actually come until about the 2:30 or so, which was an hour after the ladies' sprint, turf sprint. And it was a unilateral decision. They never called. They never said, hey, we got an issue. And that's what really bothered me. It just, to me, just showed kind of a lack of respect for the horses, my team, the owners, everyone involved. I think a phone call at the very least would have been nice.
Well, you, of course, in addition to Stormy Liberal, and everybody was looking forward to the Breeders' Cup rematch between him and World of Trouble. We should talk about the two fillies, because they were going to be an interesting presence in that ladies' turf sprint.
Absolutely.
Right?
No, they were doing great, and I think, we had a great chance to win both those races. And, we spent a lot of money. It's $15,000 to fly them out there. Owners flew out. And, a lot of expenses and a lot of time and effort. And, we can argue whether the race should or shouldn't have been come off the grass. I believe it shouldn't have. But that's an argument we can make, the manner in which it was done. Again, it's water under the bridge. Hopefully in the future, they handle it a little bit better.
What do you do now? What's the targets for Surrender Now and Painting Corners?
That's a good question. We'll just have to find something at Santa Anita down the hill. I think there's the Wishing Well Stakes coming up. We could run one or the other in that race, but I've also got Belvoir Bay. She could run in that, or she could go to the mile race in Basilica. So we've got some options. We're even considering, perhaps Belvoir Bay, possibly to the All Claws. We got options, and the horses got back yesterday, and they're training today.
I'm going to circle back in a second to Roy H., but I do want to hit on a couple of results away from Gulfstream. And you mentioned the hill and all the different outstanding, really, it's amazing how many of these sprinters that you're firing off, Peter. What about Conquest Tsunami on Sunday in the Clocker's Corner?
He was something. He really was. And, he's a horse to be reckoned with, as well. He'd also be considered for the All Claws. He was super. He was scintillating. I was a little afraid he'll come back in a week, but his energy level was high. And he's very tough when he gets an easy lead. And, he's a rock solid horse. He's run three times this month, and You know, I'm looking at him right now, and he's rearing and kicking, and, you know, I think I might have to run him again next week. Just kidding.
Yeah. Thanks for the clarification. I do have to ask because it is a little. I haven't seen anything written, but I know some people have got to be watching calculator and just getting concerned that really.
Yeah,
he's not competitive.
Yeah. No, I think I spoke to the owner yesterday, and I told him we may have hit the end of the road. He's just. I think he's figured out he's going to get fed whether he wins or loses, and kind of lost that desire and that edge. So, we're going to put some feelers out. I think he could be a tremendous stallion. He ran second to American Pharoah twice, probably the only horse that ever did that in grade ones. And if he had not had his foot issues, I think he could have been really just a top, top class horse. So I'm hoping someone recognizes the talent that he had and gives him a chance to be a stallion.
Well, and he certainly was versatile, and he did a lot of different things, and he did it for an extended period. People probably forget. I mean, he's what, grade one placed 3-4 times, and yeah. He actually was a victim of some bad luck, frankly. He ran into some horses at the wrong time.
He ran into American Pharoah, which is a pretty tough horse to run into. And without him, I think he's probably the champion 2-year-old that year. And long on the dirt, short on the grass. He did it all and really just a one of the most talented horses I've ever had. So, looking to find him a nice home, hopefully where he can pass that ability and talent on to his progeny.
The race that really is probably the difference maker in some people knocking on the door was the Carter, which he could have won. I mean, that's you look back, that could have been his grade one right there. When who was it?
Absolutely.
Salutos Amigos.
He was a couple of bad beats away from really being the horse, and his foot problem that came up Breeders' Cup morning. He's just one of those horses that everything that could go wrong did go wrong, and like I say, I'm hoping to find him a nice home.
Well, 700,000 in earnings, 26 starts, 5 wins, and kept the best of company. Talking about calculator.
Yeah, he sure did. He's a great horse, and he's sound, and we're just hoping, like I said, to find him a stallion career.
Peter, a couple of races coming up. Happen to be looking ahead to the Santa Anita schedule this week. And Distinctive B, I see as well as Captain Scotty in the fourth on Thursday.
Yeah, a couple fast horses that if everything goes well, could possibly move on to Dubai. Good horses, hard knocking, on the verge of being, graded stakes horses. It's a tough race, but they're both doing very well. So, I think we have a big chance to win it.
Distinctive B and Captain Scotty in that fourth. And then later on the card, we should talk about the 3-year-old that is, speaking of knocking on the door, Gray Magician. And this is Eclipse and Adam Wachtel. The Great Arc Colt, fourth beaten 3 to Gunmetal Gray and Sueno and Much Better. Those 3 are going to run on Saturday in the Lewis. You're taking a bit of a step backwards with Gray Magician, giving him a little class relief, but this is obviously an audition for the San Felipe.
Absolutely. We're definitely looking to... Well, but you know, Santa Anita's so tough. I mean, geez, it's an allowance race at Santa Anita, but it would be a stakes race at any other track in America. You know, it's a tough race. Baffert, as usual, has a tough one, and there's a couple others in there. But he's a very nice horse, and hopefully he can run back to his maiden win.
I see that other than sending him six furlongs, anything different that coming out of the sham that you've tried to do with him?
Well, we're putting blinkers on him.
Okay.
We're putting blinkers on him and hope to give him a little bit of focus. In sham, he was down on the inside, and that was not the place to be. The track was really deep and tiring, especially down on the inside. And and he didn't get beat bad. I think he got beat about three lengths. So, you know, hopefully the blinkers on and a little bit better trip, and we can turn things around.
Well, Gray Magician, and that comes Thursday in the 7th at Santa Anita. And then on Friday, I want to ask you about that filly that certainly from a breeding standpoint, Peter, it's a little surprising. Angel Alessandra, and we did see her in the Juvenile Fillies turf going back to Del Mar in September, and she had broken her maiden also at Del Mar in August. But on paper, she looks like, why wouldn't she dirt? She's a Go Sapper out of a Carson City mare.
I couldn't agree with you more. And we're going to run either way. So it looks like we're expecting a bunch of rain. So I think we're going to be off the grass and heads up to Santa Anita. We're running either way. And she trains really well on the dirt. You know, first race, we can excuse her first race. So we'll cut her some slack for the first race on the dirt because it was her first lifetime out. But, I'm looking forward to actually seeing her. I think if it's an off-track, she's really got a great off-track pedigree.
Yeah.
With the Go Sapper and the Carson City. So, I'm excited to see what she can do on the dirt if that's what happens Friday. But we're going to run either way.
Well, some starters to look forward to coming up this week, and as Peter alludes, might be bringing a complete contingent to Dubai. But before we go, I had promised everybody a little bit, because Dr. Alday, we're going to talk about Ridgelings and about gelding decisions, and there may not be a better horse long term to talk about on this topic than what went on with Roy H. It's so evident, Peter, and so many people say, oh, it's too bad that they had to geld him. It's like, yeah, but if they didn't geld him, look what he was before the gelding, and look what
That's
he's
right.
after the gelding.
That's right, exactly. Yeah, if I was 2 feet taller, I'd be in the NBA. It's really a moot point and a silly argument, because he was a 1X before we cut him and was having trouble winning that. And once we cut him and we got him focused, his talent could really shine through. And I think it's a good lesson to owners and trainers of don't be afraid to cut him. The odds of you being a stallion are, about that of winning the lottery. So we need to try and make the money on the racetrack, and gelding stay sounder. They run better, and unless you're by Tappet out of a grade one mare, the odds of being a stallion are small.
Well, you look at that record, and it wasn't like he was dismal, as a whole horse, but it was just obvious the minute he post gelding what this horse what potential was all along, and
is it
something?
It too. He showed it in the mornings, and that's, we knew he had it in him, and kudos again to Gary Hartunian and Amy Hartunian for allowing me to geld him. You know, it's a not an easy decision. He's a $300,000 auction purchase, and he has a great pedigree. But again, obviously, it was the right decision.
And you know, you wouldn't trade what they're experiencing as owners. Certainly, you wouldn't trade it for a stallion, the potential of a stallion career.
Absolutely not. You know, he had no stallion career the way things were going, and
exactly.
And I don't think things would have changed or turned around. I can't point to anything other than gelding. We didn't change equipment. We didn't change the way we trained him. We didn't change a darn thing, except the ultimate equipment change.
The ultimate equipment change, as they say. I love it. Well, Peter, last year ends the same way that 2017 did, except in this case resulting in a second championship as Stormy Liberal and Roy H. Bring home trophies, which is good because this way David gets to keep one and the Rockingham team gets to keep one.
That's right. And I get a pay for two of them.
There you go. I love it. Peter, good luck this week.
It's all good. I hope to buy more in the future. And, you know, thank you for having me on. You're always very kind, and I really appreciate what you do for the industry and promoting this great sport.
Well, Peter, I appreciate it, and good luck this week. We'll be watching the ones we just talked about, and we'll see how things shape up for Dubai. It feels like you may have to book your own plane.
I don't know about that, but hopefully, if everything goes well, we have three or four.
I love it. Peter Miller, everybody, and the wonderful story involving the two sprinters, one turf, one main track, and lots to look forward to from them in 2019. And right now we're going to look forward to talking to Preston Sims, who won the Pegasus Betting Challenge with a audacious $1,400 trifecta bet that brought back $147,000. And the title and an extra couple hundred thousand. We'll talk to Preston when we come back. Jeremy Plonk and Countdown to the Crown in the last half hour this morning as well. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people, 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda.
The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary.
Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hias, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hias.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com performance plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.